Going to start on time because, well, first of all, it's the right thing to do, and also because Rabbi Levin is on a somewhat of a tight schedule, and we very much appreciate him being here tonight. I just want to give a tremendous yashar koach to those who are spearheading the effort of all the Amud Yomi programs, but particularly Megillah, where we saw such a tremendous uptick, and at least people who are expressing interest enough to be on the WhatsApp group. We have, I think last count was, I don't know, 130, 140 people on the WhatsApp group. And, you know, that's, if even half of them actually learn the entire Maseches Megillah, that would be a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment. So I want to thank all the people who make that happen, Shamshi and Natan and Dan Frogel, who I could thank because he's not here yet, so I'm able to thank him. And Rabbi Fletcher for giving the Tosos Shiurim. I also want to acknowledge that Zev Cohn is here. This is Larry Cohn's son, and the learning is being done. L'zchus for Shlema for Aryeh Cohen Ben Frimit, and Larry, of course, is a founding member of our shul and really has been since the beginning of the shul, sort of like the Zaidi of our shul, and very, very beloved. Beloved member of our shul and inspiring member of our shul in many ways, in his consistency in tefillah, his positive attitude, and things of that nature, everything Torah and Avoda related. Don't want to take too much time. I spoke in Rabbi Levin's shul on Sunday morning. Rabbi Levin is the assistant rabbi at Eish Kodesh, I told Rabbi Levin, whatever you introduce me with, I can like give it back to you tenfold on Thursday night. So you got to be careful. I'm not going to give it back to him tenfold. Just to say what an honor it is for us to have Rabbi Levin here. Just want to let people know that we hope that this is not the last time we have Rabbi Levin here. It's been so many requests. When are we getting Rabbi Levin? What's going to be the right context? When should we bring him in? And when we started this program, the Amud Yomi program, and we tried to get kids involved and so many people involved in learning a serious amount of material each day, so then it became obvious that Rabbi Levin has to be the one that kicks off the program. Some people said, you got to bring Rabbi Levin in because if there's anyone that knows about learning and retaining a lot of material in a short amount of time, it's Rabbi Levin finishes Shas every, I don't know, I assume by now it's like every 2 weeks or so he finishes all of Shas, something ridiculous. I mean, it's not much more ridiculous than that, and if there's someone that could tell us how to chazen and retain, if there's someone that can make it exciting, someone that can give us a taste of what we're about to encounter as we learn Maseches Megillah, it will be Rabbi Levin. And with all that, with all of the Torah accomplishment, much like his mentor of Moshe Weinberger, Rabbi Levin still has, it's not only that he learns all of Shas. There's so much else that he learns and that he's engaged in Shiurim, in Halacha, and in Hashkafa, and in Chassidus and Kabbalah, not so much in the Shiurim, but in his own learning. And it's just such an inspiring thing that to be able to call him a dear friend and colleague for many years, and we hope to be able to bring him many, many more times. Without further ado, we ask Rabbi Levin to share Divrei Torah with us this evening.
It's great that I get last licks here. You said there's no traffic, right? You know, it's a great honor to be speaking here at VKNW. And it's a beautiful kehila with a remarkable reputation. I'm sure you guys know about it, but from the outside, the reputation that you guys have as a community, as a shul, as a kehila, a reputation of one of a great desire to grow in learning, grow in Yir Shemayim, grow in performing chesed, programs like this. And it's due to, of course, the esteemed leadership of the most modest of celebrities that you guys have, a world-renowned Rebbe of thousands, and my dear friend and role model, Rabbi Leibowitz. So it's a great honor being here. Thank you for inviting me. And Rabbi Leibowitz suggested a few topics I could speak about. Chazara, he spoke, maybe I should speak about, do a quick overview of Maseches Megillah, and perhaps giving some words of inspiration. So I decided to take two of those suggestions, some ideas of Chazara, incorporate that with some ideas of inspiration, Chizik and Liman HaTorah, because the Gemara tells us on Shabbos that although when it came to Har Sinai, the Kadosh Baruch Hu Kafalem Har Kegigis, that he forced us to accept the Torah, when it came to Purim, Hadra Karbaluhu Ba'ava, we accepted Ba'ava B'me'ach HaShverosh. So learning Maseches Megillah is a new acceptance of the commitment of Torah, of Kabbalah HaTorah, Ba'ava. So Purim is the time, Maseches Megillah is the limud to really express our commitment in limud HaTorah. So through this, I'd like to share some words of advice of how to do Chazara and some chizik in learning. So let's begin how to do proper Chazara. Now the truth is, it really begins with a prior question. Now, how do you learn properly? Because if you learn properly the first time around, that makes the chazara even easier. So how do you learn properly? What does it mean to learn properly? So the Gemara famously tells in Megillah, Daf Vav Amud Beis, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Im Yomer Lecha Adam, if a person tells you, Yagati V'lo Matzasi Lo Tamin, don't believe him. The guy says, I really worked hard, but I didn't find the emes. Whatever Matzasi means, I didn't find the emes. We don't trust the guy. And if the guy says, Yagati, lo yagati, matasi, I didn't put any effort in, but matasi, I found the emes, al tamin, don't believe the individual. Only if he says, as we all know, he says, yagati, matasi, tamin. If he tells you that he put effort in, and he tells you he found the emes, that's the only time you're allowed to trust the individual. So what does yagi mean? What does yagi mean? What does it mean to put effort in? So obviously it means effort, it means time, it means energy, but it also means you. It means putting yourself in it. You need to be in it to win it. What does it mean to put yourself in it? It's not enough to just put in the time to show up to a shiur. Yagi means to show up entirely, not only physically being there. It means to be there in your mind, focused, to be entirely there in mind and body. It means shutting off the phone for 45 minutes. It means, if I could be so liberal, to take out a pen and pencil and take notes maybe. No one does that anymore. In my shiur, everyone takes out their phone and pretends they're taking notes, but they're really texting or emailing. So maybe take out a pen and pencil and take some notes. So a little bit of a focus. You need to have focus. You need to show up. That's what yagati means, to show up physically and in mind and in body. So the Gruff points out famously that there are two mitzvahs that require one's entire body. Ramachi Varm, 248 limbs need to be present to fulfill the mitzvah. What are the two mitzvahs? It's sukkah and it's Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Based on a pasuk in Tehillim, the pasuk tells us, "Vayhi b'shalem," person's b'shlemus when it comes to sukkah. In a sukkah, you need shlemus, the entire body. And u'ma'anaso b'tzion, and also to be entirely present when it comes to living in Eretz Yisrael. Those are the two mitzvahs based on the pasuk in Tehillim, that the entire body needs to be present to fulfill the mitzvah. So all the mefarshim ask, what about mikvah? Mikvah also requires one's entire body. So a few answers are given. One answer is given that it's only a hechsher mitzvah, mikvah is not a real mitzvah. Or perhaps it's only when you exit the mikvah is that the mitzvah, but not inside the mikvah. So there's a story with Rav Simcha Barim Pashischa once met with Admor Rabbi Shlomo Leib. And Rabbi Simcha Barim was explaining to him that he's so excited about the mitzvah of sukkah because you get to perform it with your entire body. All Ramachi Varm, you step inside the sukkah and you go to the mitzvah with the entire body, b'shlemus. So then Reb Shlomo Leib points out, Shabbos is even greater than that. Because Shabbos also requires the entire body. But it's greater because you don't have to do anything. Sukkah, you need to step inside the sukkah. And then when you leave the sukkah, you're no longer in the mitzvah. Shabbos, wherever you are enveloped in Shabbos. It just becomes Shabbos. Your entire body is just in that parsha of Shabbos without having to do anything. So Shabbos is another example where it requires all Ramach Evarim. So I want to suggest, maybe there's another example. Limud HaTorah. Limud HaTorah requires the entire body, the entire Ramach Evarim, to be involved in Limud HaTorah, to really learn it, to really understand it. So the Gemara tells us, not the Gemara, rather the Gematria of the word Gemara, plus the four letters of Gemara, is 248. It's exactly Ramach Evarim. In order to engage yourself in Gemara, you have to be entirely present, both in body and in mind. You have to be all there. Your physical body, your brain, your mind, your focus has to be all there to learn Gemara. You have to be b'shlemus, just like sukkah and mikvah and Eretz Yisrael and Shabbos. You have to be entirely there when it comes to learning Gemara. Now, moreover, the Sfarim tell us that when a person learns Gemara, he's surrounded by malachim. And the word Gemara stands for Gimel is Gavriel, Mem is Michal, Resh is Rafal, and Aleph is Uriel. When a person is learning Gemara, he's surrounded by these four malachim. So imagine now, you're sitting learning, you're beginning Maseches Megillah, and around that table that you're learning, there's four malachim watching over you, surrounding you, and protecting you. So I saw in a beautiful sefer, you probably saw this, Berachayim or Biederman. So I imagine everyone here, for the most part, Shul, I think, davens Nusach Ashkenaz, I presume. I also daven Nusach Ashkenaz, but now davening in Eish, I'm forced to learn a little bit about Nusach Svard. And the Kedusha Nusach Svard is very interesting. And he points out here, one of the footnotes, that we say Shabbos morning, Shacharis, versus the Nusach of Kedusha and Musaf. So, Shacharis, we say, Nakdishach v'naritach kinoam siach sod sarfei kodesh. That we're praising Hashem, we're singing to Hashem, like kinoam siach, like the words, like the praise, like the singing of the sarfei kodesh, of the malachim. Then 45 minutes later, we get to Tfilas Musaf. And then we say, Yachad kulam kudu. They scream Yachad in the Nusach Svart. Yachad, they'll scream, kulam kudusha lecha yishaleshu. All of us are together. All of us are singing praise together along with the malachim. So 45 minutes earlier, we're only kinoam siach. We're similar. We're trying to reach, we're trying to emulate the malachim in our kedusha. But then comes Musaf, we are on the same level. Yachad, all of us together on the same level. So what's changed in 45 minutes from kinoam to Yachad? So explained to Rabbi Biederman, of course, the difference is Kriyas HaTorah. Through Kriyas HaTorah, the in-between, after completing Shacharis, and then transitioning to Musaf, through Kriyas HaTorah, through Limud HaTorah, by learning with the Malachim surrounding us, Gavriel, Michal, Rafal, and Uriel, then you get to the level of Yachad, learning together on that same plane as the Malachim. So, more than that, so not only do you have to be entirely there when learning, and you're there with the Malachim, but more than that, every word of Gemara that you say, every word of Torah that you say, is actually being repeated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara, the end of Masechet Megillah, the second to last daf, tells us there's a difference between the Tochacha of Sefer Vayikra and the Tochacha of Sefer Devarim. What's the difference? So the Tochacha and Sefer Vayikra was said by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, and therefore it's more severe. So we can't split it up in Aliyahs. We want one Aliyah and get it out of the way. When it comes to the Tochacha of Sefer Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu himself said it. So therefore, it's not so severe, it's not so intense, and we could break it up in aliyahs. There's no rush to get it out of the way. So the Mefarshim ask, Moshe Rabbeinu said the Torah? He said the Tochacha? If a person says that even one word didn't come from Hashem, he doesn't get Olam Haba. So how could the Gemara suggest that Moshe Rabbeinu said the Tochacha? So says the Ma'aral that Moshe Rabbeinu was the mouthpiece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said words, when he spoke, it went through, it channeled through Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth. So Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth and lips were moving, but it really was sourced in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking through the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Nefesh HaChaim, the opposite is true. When we're learning, our words are going through the mouthpiece of Hashem. And he proves this from a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin, Daf Vav Amud Beis, tells us a machlokus what happened with the story of Pilegish Begiva. Without getting to the great details, there's a machlokus between Rabbi Avyasar and Rabbi Yonas on what happened. Was there a hare? Was there a bug that scared away this individual? And he sent away the Pilegish. So was it a hare? Was it a bug? So one time, Rebbe Avyasar, who a few times in Shas was Zocha to Gilui Eliyahu HaNavi, he met Eliyahu HaNavi. And one of the first questions they usually ask Eliyahu HaNavi is, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing at this very moment? So he says, you know, he happens to be learning. The Gemara of Odezar says he learns every single day for a few hours. So he's learning the sugya of Pilegish Begiva. So Rabbi Avyasar got very, very excited. So, who's right? Me and my friend here, Rabbi Yonasan, had a machlokus. Was it a bug or was it a hare? Which one was it? So Eliyahu Navi says, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says as follows. Avyasar b'ni, my dear son Avyasar, says it was one thing. And Yonasan b'ni, my other dear son Yonasan, says something else happened. So Rabbi Avyasar got all excited. How could there be a suffix in Shemayim? He wasn't sure what happened. He says, no, they're both true. Eilu ve'eilu dir ve'lachim chayim. First he saw a bug and then he saw a hare, or I forget which the order was. But what we see from this, says the Nefesh HaChaim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was quoting Rabbi Avyasar, and he's quoting Rabbi Yonasan. So that means anytime that we learn, when we attend the shir, when we listen to the Magid shir, that means our words are being placed in the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now we see, it means when you concentrate, when you focus, and when you immerse yourself in learning, your entire body, all Ramach Evarim, to realize that you're being surrounded by four malachim, yachad, all together, learning. And every word that you recite is going through the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that should give us so much more appreciation for the learning. If you have that focus and if you have that intensity, then the chazar, which is really the question we're trying to answer, then the chazar will be that much easier. Let's speak a moment about chazara. So that same Gemara that I quoted before in Megillah that says, Yagati Matasi, It also says Yagi only works for understanding, the chedude, to understand, to sharpen your mind. When it comes to memory, it's all siyata d'shmaya. So if you're blessed with a memory like Rav Avadia Yosef, so then you're good to go. And if you're not like the rest of us here, so then you're stuck. Yagiya doesn't help for memory. So that, does that mean we shouldn't try to chazer, we shouldn't try to remember anything? Because it's all siyata d'shmaya anyways. So I think the Gemara means don't try to remember every single word, because we don't have a photographic memory. We can't remember every single word. If you have a siyata d'shmaya to have such a memory, so then that's for you. But if not, you should then utilize other tactics, other strategies of remembering. Like what? What are some examples of remembering? So the Gemara goes a few places about some tactics how to remember. So I want to share one that appears at the end of this Masech, the Masech of Megillah, very last daf. Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yochanan said, "Kol ha'kore b'lo ni'ima, v'shone b'lo zimra." A person who reads, learned without ni'ima, without sweetness, without singing. The pasuk describes him chukim lo tovim. It's not a good thing. You're supposed to sing the songs, say them out loud. And Tosas writes there, that's why they used to sing the Mishnayos, to help them remember it. Each Mishnah had a different zemer to remember it, to be al peh. So by saying the words out loud, and by singing, that helps the memory. So anyone who has daughters knows that songs are very helpful. My boys don't come home singing songs, my girls do. So they know the 50 capitals of the United States, and they know the Birchas Yaakov, and they know all these other things because they sing it all the time, so they don't forget them. My wife still remembers the Birchas Yaakov she learned in sixth grade. So memory is very helpful when it comes to singing songs and saying things out loud. Tosfos Yontif adds on this, that's the reason why we have a chasur mechzer. In many places in Shas, the Gemara says there's a very important line in the Mishnah that's missing, and it was intentionally missing. Why is there a chasur mechzer? So Tosfos Yontif explains, based on this idea, to fit a song into lyrics, you need to have, it has to be poetic, it has to be rhythmic, it has to flow. So sometimes the flow isn't there. So they remove some key words of the Mishnah to make it flow nicely, to fit into a song, to help the memory. So I think the idea is that Mishnayos were intentionally short and sweet. If it's too many words, you can't remember that. It's meant to be very short and sweet, to be very terse. And you look at a Mishnah, and then it jogs your memory to fill in all the gaps. But you can't remember everything. It's meant to be, again, little shorthand notes. And it's supposed to be poetic. That's why we have in the first parak of Maseches Megillah all these ein beins. They're very poetic. They flow very nicely to help you remember what these ein beins are. So the idea is, when it comes to the Mishnayos, to help you remember it, in addition to saying it out loud, in addition to singing it, which most of us are probably not going to do, the idea is to be short and sweet, to be rhythmic, to be clear, concise. So I think Rabbi Leibowitz advises his Talmidim, when it comes to each Amud, to write like the 3, 4, 5 major points in each page. So when you look at a Amud of the Gemara, you see, oh, these are the 5 points on that page. It helps jog your memory and remember the rest of the Amud. I have a different tactic. In my Gemaras, I underline. So each new sugya, or each new tashma, or each new raya, or mesive, I'll underline that next topic. So I look at an Amud of Gemara, I see, oh, there are 4, 5, or 8 different sections of this Gemara. So it breaks it down, as opposed to one long Amud. Now I have it broken down in almost 8 paragraphs. I look at the top line, and it helps me remember what the sugya is about to go about. If you look in the Masiftas, they start doing something similar. They have a period after each section. The old Gemaras don't have that. I think the Maseches Brachos, the first like 8 lot, have a bunch of dots there. They probably started that. So the Masiftas finished doing that by placing periods at each new story, each new topic. So I underline it, so when I look at a page, it really jumps out at you, it really breaks it down. It's almost like making it short and sweet. And that's a key tactic, I think, in helping remember things. So now with proper learning, you know, the first time around, and then proper, efficient, sensible chazara, we can begin to understand and really acquire the Torah through that. Now, the canonization of Megillas Esther is the story of two individuals, Mordechai and Esther, two individuals who wanted to share their story, make their story heard. They wanted to weave their story into the fabric of the Torah, into Tanakh. And the Gemara tells us there's a machlokas between Esther and the Chachamim, whether she could include the Megillah in the Tanakh, and of course she won. She found the source, a pasuk, that supported her, that Megillas Esther can be incorporated in the 24 books of Tanakh. And this applies to us as well. Each of us are writing our own Megillah. We're writing our own story of life, filled with miracles, nisim v'niflaos, filled with Torah and mitzvos. Maseches Megillah describes the halachos of Megillas Esther, but it also serves as a model and a lesson for our own story, our own Megillah, our own journey through life, the journey through the Torah, through Shas. And sometimes we might feel as if we're not learning enough. We can't possibly accomplish as much as Rabbi Leibowitz. I mean, who can keep up with the amount of shirim that he just shoots out every single day? But Hashem loves all of us, and He appreciates all the Torah and all the time and effort that we put in. And although the output may not look as beautiful, as crystal clear and digestible as Rabbi Leibowitz's output, Hashem appreciates all of our efforts, all of our yegiah. So I read a story recently about an individual, a chassid, his name was Herschel. And Herschel, every year we go to the Ger Rebbe, bring a gift. You always look around, he's a very wealthy individual. Always look for the nicest gift to share with his Rebbe. One year was a beautiful Kiddush cup. Another year was a Esrog holder, a challah cover. So one year he got a beautiful, gorgeous silver menorah. He wanted to make it to the Rebbe for Hanukkah to give it to him. And that week he was planning on going. It was a few weeks travel from where he lived to go get to the Rebbe. Very, very bad weather. And no one was willing to travel to the Rebbe. So finally, he was a wealthy individual. He paid one wagon driver enough money to take him over to the Rebbe. And he said, the one thing I need to tell you, though, I'm going to take a shortcut. And this shortcut involves going over a lake that's been frozen over. But trust me, the lake is fine. I went over it several times, but that's the quickest way to get there. So Herschel agreed to go with the wagon driver. And they're going, traveling a week, and finally the last leg of this trip, they encounter this lake that's been frozen over. And the horse takes the first step and hears a little crack, and Herschel starts getting nervous and anxious, and the wagon driver says not to worry. And they're going fine over the lake, and they're 50 feet away, and then the horse takes the next step, and a huge crack. The horse falls in the lake, the wagon driver, Herschel, everything falls in, and somehow a piece of the plank splintered off of that wagon, and Herschel's able to hold on floating on the lake. And he ends up swimming to the end of the lake, pulls himself out. The wagon driver, the horse, everything was destroyed, gone in the bottom of the lake, including that silver menorah. And Herschel gets out and he finds a cabin nearby, or a hut, or whatever they had there in Europe. And they offered him some clothing. He didn't want it. He wanted to get quickly warmed up and run off to the Rebbe. Rebbe was only a few blocks away. So after he leaves all wet and disheveled, torn clothing, he gets to the Rebbe's house. Mamish, perfect time to watch him light the candles. The first night of Hanukkah. He comes in looking the way he looks, and the Rebbe's saying the brachas. Perfect time. Rebbe sees Herschel, the way he looked, torn clothing, wet. He says, so did you bring me a gift? Herschel's like, thinking, don't you see how I look? You don't ask me what happened? He says, no, I brought one with me, but unfortunately I lost it. So he says, you have nothing for me? Nothing at all? He said, I lost everything. So the Rebbe says, put your hand in your pocket. So Herschel puts his hand in his pocket. He pulls out a soggy sandwich. And the Rebbe puts out his hand, give it to me. And he gives him the sandwich, and the Rebbe has this big smile on his face. He says, I don't care what you gave me. I don't care about a beautiful menorah, a beautiful esrog. I don't care what it was. The fact that you gave me something, the fact that you put some level of effort, that's what I care about, that nedivas lev that you're offering to us. So no matter what level, quality that you're learning, every time, every moment, every second that you're giving, that yegia is what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. So I wish everyone here at Tzlach in this new limud, Maseches Megillah, in your journey through Shas, and you should have continued strength and health to continue learning. Shkoyach. And mazel tov on the siyum.
What's the program?
It's
Charlton and Siam. Charlton and Siam? Okay. I want to thank Rabbi Levin. I also neglected to thank Tani Sussman before for doing all the printing of all the material. Heshi Bukorski for helping to run the WhatsApp group. What else? Anyone else? I got Shamshi. I got Natan. I got Rabbi Fleischer. Anyone? Okay. I got Frogel. All right. So thank you to everybody, and we should thank you for everyone for coming to learn.
Then get everybody to sit back down.
Oh, the seam and then the challenge. Okay, who's doing the seam?